Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Listen, I believe today will be a dog year in the pages that God writes about this house. Today is a watermark. We went to levels so deep today. Lives were changed forever this morning. Because we stepped back from the hype. We walked away from what felt good and cozy. And we took a good hard look at what really went on. Let me tell you this, and I'm torn up inside. I don't even know which way is up right now because of what I've been facing all afternoon and all morning as we discuss this great exchange. Now, I don't regret. I regret a lot, actually. I really do. Man, some stupid decisions. I didn't even want to say that, but anyway. I don't even know how I was going to word it, but the Lord often takes me back and shows me snapshots of my life before I knew him. And it's not for so that he can condemn me. It's so that he can remind me, so that he can show me, so that he can repaint the picture. You know, we sang that song, Take Me Back. I don't even know how it goes. Nathan could tell us better. But listen, talking about going back to the place where we heard God so clearly before we became indoctrinated and before we became this person who thought they knew and figured out the kingdom of God. Take me back, Lord, to the place where I was so ignorant to you that I could hear you clearly, so that I didn't have a formulation in my mind of what your voice sounded like. I just knew in my heart that it was you. I was immature, but I was more mature then than I am now, because in my immaturity, I just believed you. I just trusted you. I just went for it. I just listened. I asked you silly questions. The first major move that we ever made in our lives, how God confirmed it, was with a basketball and a vase across the room. And I threw the ball and it went in the jug, and I realized that we were making the biggest move of our life at that time. But it was so that I could learn his voice and I could learn his heart. But one thing that we need to understand, and what Pastor Chris was trying to get at this morning, is there was the possibility was given for us to step into this relationship. You see, this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, is so important to me because I know that without the great exchange, I couldn't earn nor even afford what he had for me. But he said, my life for yours. My life for yours. My righteousness for your sin. And because I knew that my road was a dead end, I only had one decision. Now, one day I'll share the fullness of my testimony, but I literally gave the Lord my life in my sleep. And I believe he had to set me there because I wouldn't have made it on my own, because I was too attached to my life. As dysfunctional as it was, I was too attached to it. Can I get a witness? Going back to the vices and going back to the things that I knew were ripping apart my heart and my relationships, but I didn't know any better. He said, I better lay this boy down and set his heart straight while he's asleep. Do the old sneak up on him. Literally. Went to bed drunk, woke up sober, confessing that I wanted to live the rest of my life being a pastor. Only Jesus can do that. Everybody but Nikki can leave the stage, or you can stay right there because this is beautiful right now. You and me, girl. Yeah, step in. Yeah, she does. She's way behind on her cross stitching today. You'll go get it, girl. Wow, so radical. Look at me, cross stitch. Listen, I want to talk to you right now about the great exchange. I want to talk to you about 2 Corinthians 5:21, 2 Corinthians 5:17. What we heard this morning, what was, I don't know that listen, is there any way that we can get all three of these sermons on the podcast? Because what I really need to do is I really need to challenge us to go back and listen to all three. Well, hopefully after I wrap up tonight, then I'll tell you if you want to listen to 5 o'clock again. But you need, listen, it was so simple yet so deep. It was so profound that you need to grab a hold of the seed that was sown this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:21 out of the Passion says this: "For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him." But what happens is this, is we receive this free gift of salvation. We receive the redemption of Christ or the promise of the redemption of Christ with the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. But then a lot of us just stay there and we become these cleansed sinners without a reset of a mindset. We think, I got my salvation and that's all that I needed to do. That's all that was for me. You go over and you don't have to flip tonight. I want to read to you tonight. I'm going to go Romans 8, Cam, I apologize. I missed a verse. I saw this after the fact and I'm going to read it to you right now. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says this, after we talk about the great exchange, it says, "The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, 'Beloved Father,' for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, 'You are God's beloved child.'" As we step into the maturity of sonship, these things begin to unfold in our lives and we begin to see God in the light that he's wanted to be seen by us forever. That's why he was so enthralled with Enoch, because Enoch didn't ask him, you know, Enoch didn't demand of him. Enoch just wanted to be with him. It wasn't about, "You're the God who could fulfill my need, therefore I'm going to hang out with you for when I need things. I can ask you because you're right there." He's just like, "God, I want to walk with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to be with you." And because of that attitude, because of that relationship, God gave him everything. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it this way: "Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ," I love that word. You know what enfold means? You got to know what enfold means, right? Like you fold it up into. Okay, anyway. It was amazing in my head. "If anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the older has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new." Everything is fresh and new. New Living Translation says it this way: "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. We begin to live and operate above laws of human norm." See, the great exchange wasn't just to save you, it was to set you free from an old mindset and set you into a new relationship with the Father God. It was about, "Come here, not only walk with me, but walk like me." Say that with me. Don't walk just with me, walk like me. He's restoring the likeness of him into the earth through you and I. My father says it this way, that God is inundating the earth with his statutes and principles, and they are embodied in us. Jesus said this to his disciples, that you yourselves are not of this world. Out of John chapter 15 and verse 19, you are not of this world. This isn't you anymore. You are not a part of this whole deal. You have been brought up and brought out. You have been set free and set to. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24 says it like this. Cam, you can go ahead and put it up here. But this is not the way of life that Christ has unfolded within you. If you have really experienced the anointed one and heard his truth, it will be seen in your life. For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus. And he has taught us to let you go, or he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old selfie life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's given to you. And be transformed, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within you, within your new life, and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again into his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. Paul encourages us in Ephesians 5 and verse 1 to be imitators. To be imitators. It's okay to be an imitation. So be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as he, as his beloved sons and daughters. We are to imitate who he is in the earth. And the only way that you can do that is through the great exchange, through the taking of, allowing him to take your sin so that you could become his righteousness. You couldn't do it. No act that you do, no duty that you do would ever suffice, would ever be good enough for him to say, you know what, you've done enough. Here's my righteousness. It was literally a free exchange. It was like me pulling out a $100 bill. Who wants a $100 bill? Three of you. The rest of you are like, it's $1,000, maybe. It'd be worth my while getting out of my seat. If I had a $100 bill and I went and handed it to one of you with no strings attached, it's like that, just not really like that. He said, I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to do everything that I can to take you from where you are and set you to where I am. Make you like me, imitators. We need to imitate. There's like a gazillion verses tonight. I just really want you to get this. I want us to understand this. How many of you understand that God is doing something radical through this house? You know, Mike Bickle said it like this. He said, radical Christianity isn't attending the next conference or singing as loud as you can in worship. Radical Christianity is staying steady for decades. Just staying at it. Philippians chapter 3 in verse 20. But we are a colony of heaven on earth as we cling tightly to our life giver, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there's a mindset that changes when you walk into this great exchange, when you fully understand what has happened to you. Listen, I was so broken and I didn't know what to do. I just married what I didn't know then, but I know now, was the absolute love of my life and the one who I would do anything for. And I was already screwing it up. Everything that I worked hard for to reconcile with her, I was already screwing it up again. 3 days into our marriage. That's where God finally says, enough, enough is enough. Now that you're under covenant with the heritage that you just made. I just didn't marry a girl. I married a heritage of radical believers. Up to that point, I'd been attending a church that her grandparents moved, relocated, and founded as founding elders. And I remember the guy ministering to me on a honeymoon. That's where I got saved, on my honeymoon. The guy ministering to me on my honeymoon, he's like, they do what? And they, whoa, she's got that, and that's the heritage. She's like, where are you running, man? You're done. That's what he said to me. I was like, get out of here, bro. You don't even know me. I'm hardcore to the bone. Listen, if you weren't here this morning, you missed it. Pastor Chris giving props to God. Listen. When God saves your life, you give him. He don't care. He'd be like, that's my son. See that? I don't know what's happening, man. I walked up here, he said, don't screw it up. I think it's screwing it up right now. All good. We'll get her back. Listen, you walk into this great exchange and it radically transforms your life. Do you know that God can transform you like that? That's salvation, man. It's full repentance. It's walking in a direction and turning from it and walking the other way. That's the first act of transformation. Then you walk into this lifestyle of the understanding that I'm a new creation. I'm not who I once was. You know what? I might dress the same. I might for some season, I might talk the same, but something inside of me has shifted. And I'm starting to see things a little different. And what I call this, I call it the Lord's eye view, or I call it the attitude adjustment. I'll call it thinking just a little different. I'm tired of believers making excuses for old habits that they have not allowed to die. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you can't listen to hip hop. It's which hip hop you choose to listen to. Come on, somebody. Sorry, country music. I forgot we were in Edmonton. Chill, guys. Listen, I got till 7 o'clock, so just settle down. I got to get going. But you begin to see things different. You begin to realize this, that you don't go to church, but you are and have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't pray to God. Listen, you commune with God. Say, commune with God. I want to read this to you. Actually, I want to read the first one. Yeah, I'm going to read it to you. I got a half hour. It's either I read you scripture or you laugh at me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? You know, you don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. You are God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, then use your body to bring God glory. You don't go to church. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Church goes with you. You can have an altar call wherever you are. You don't pray to God. You commune with God. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2 says this. Now this is what Yahweh says. Listen, Jacob, to the one who created you, Israel, to the one who shaped you. Or shaped who you are. Do not fear, for I, your kinsman redeemer, will rescue you. I have called you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the deep stormy sea, you can count on me to be there for you. When you pass through raging rivers, you will not drown. When you walk through persecution like fiery flames, you will not be burned. The flames will not harm you. You do not just pray to God. You commune with God. The word commune means this, to share one's intimate thoughts or feelings. especially on a spiritual level, or to feel in close spiritual contact with. You have the opportunity every single day through this great exchange to commune with God, to share the deepest parts of your being. Not that he doesn't know them already, but he wants to hear you express them. That's why it's so important for us to confess our sin to him. He's like, I know what's in there, son. I just want to hear you say it. I want to know that you know that it's not good for you. We have the opportunity to walk with him, to live in close proximity with him through this great exchange. It wasn't because we're good. It's not because we can sing. Are you laughing at me? It's not because you can sing well. It's not because you can preach well. It's not because you have a really cool southern accent and you say, God bless. No, it's not a cheap shot, man. I got that on repeat so that I could sleep to it. You don't pray for miracles. You expect miracles. Ah, man. I'm going to say that again. I don't think you heard it. You don't pray for miracles. Oh, Lord, if it's your will, you'll heal my body. No, Lord, it is your will. And I'm your son. And you paid the penalty for this on the cross. So I'm going to stand in victory. Even before I see it, I'm going to stand in victory. Because I know. You drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm you. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. Can you throw up verse 8, Cam? Am I going to mess you up if I ask you to do that? Okay. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. As much as you want to believe it, the laws in the U.S. and the laws in third world countries, they're not applied here. It doesn't matter here. If you want to drive at 180 on the Autobahn, that's one thing. You try to drive 180 on number two, you're getting ticket upon ticket upon ticket upon ticket. Well, I drive 180 on the Autobahn. That's fine. You're not on the Autobahn, son. You might think you are, but you're not. Germany's laws don't apply here, just like our laws don't apply there. A carnal mindset cannot grasp what God is trying to say and what God is trying to do. A carnal mindset will keep you bound up in that place that you're worried about finances or cancer or sickness in your family, worried about your marriage. But a mindset that is set upon God, a renewed mindset, says, God, I don't know what's going on here, but you do. The reality is that I'm sick, but you are still speaking over me. You're still saying something about it. So I have this question for you. Just like I asked myself this question. Are you a figurative or a literal Christian? Did you just come to church today so that you could fulfill your duty for the week because you think it pleases God for you to show up at church on Sunday? When you open your Bible, does that make you right with God? Are you one who lives trapped in a mindset of duty-filled production, production-filled Christianity that says, if I do more, God will love me more? If I just serve on this committee and if I help with ushering and if I serve on the worship team and I make sure I'm doing this church, serving children's once a month, then God will love me because he'll see how passionate I am about him. Or are you a literal Christian, one that believes that God loves you because you're a son? Yeah, that's right. that you couldn't do any more or any less for him to love you anymore. Listen, when you walk into the exchange and you allow the exchange to have its way, when you understand that my sin has been dealt with, not just now, but forever. The best picture of this is the prodigal son that, yeah, you know what? I was cleansed of my sin when I came to know him as my Lord and Savior, as my Redeemer. But it didn't mean that I walked right out of it. I still had nature that I had to walk through. And I'm not saying I'm perfect today, but his blood still suffices today. It's still applicable now. And it has allowed me to grow in ways that I never could or that I never would. So I want to read you some thoughts that I wrote down. One that gives us an understanding of, am I walking in this mindset? Am I walking with this heart attitude? Do I have God's eye view on this one? I was going to read that, but that was great. I'll read it later. First one is this: we forgive because we are forgiven. Do you know that holding a grudge against somebody does nothing to them, but it will absolutely kill you? It's like holding a grenade and think it's going to damage the enemy. That's the first place that I go to when I think, am I heart still right with God? Am I still in that place of gratitude? Am I holding a grudge? Trust me, I've been there and I'll be there again. I'm sure of it. We share our salvation. We witness to others because we know from what we have been saved. We pin evangelism, and I, at heart, this is big for us. We love evangelism. We love going out. We love going into the streets. And when I say we, I'm talking about my wife and I, and we just love seeing people for the first time come to the saving knowledge of Jesus and watch as they transform right before our eyes. But we've pinned evangelism as this badge that we wear. You understand what I'm saying? We evangelize because it does something for us. Do you know that your evangelism wasn't meant for you? It was meant for them so that they could know peace and freedom and joy. But we wear it as a badge. And I mean, we've got some of the greatest evangelists in this house, in the world. People who love Jesus and love humanity and do evangelism the right way. But one way to know if, you know what, if I have walked into this great exchange and if I'm allowing this great exchange to walk itself out of my life, I want to share that with others. Yes. It's a natural reproduction. It's a natural desire just to share it. I've been changed forever. Trust me, we all have the worst testimony in the house. And I love what Nathan said today. And trust me, that's big because I have 5 church kids in my home. And I want their testimony to be, God kept me. Might not be my testimony, but it's their testimony. You better believe I'm interceding on their behalf. We heal because we believe the words and commands of Jesus. We don't worry because he has not given us a spirit of fear. We give because we walk with the giver. I'm talking about allowing the great exchange. I'm talking about walking from our sin and walking in his righteousness, as was the promise upon the cross. What happens to our lives when we walk this out? We trust because he has never given us a reason not to. We trust because he's never given us a reason not to. Never once was he late for an appointment. Never once did he tell us that he would do something and not. We go because he has called us to. We have faith because he himself is faithful. I'm going to teach next week on faith, but I want to share this little tidbit first. You're going to get this again next weekend, but it's all right. It'll be just as amazing next weekend as it is right now. I want to read this to you. We have faith. I want you to understand this. We have faith because he is faithful. Listen to this. I want to talk to you about Sarah for a minute. Hebrews 11:11 says this. Sarah's faith embraced God's miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and past the age of childbearing, because for the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped in to his faithfulness. You remember the dad who had the son who was an epileptic that the disciples tried to heal? And the disciples couldn't work this demon, this spirit of epilepsy out of his son. And he was confused because he knew that they were the ones that walked with Jesus, but they didn't have the power to bring this spirit out. And Jesus comes walking up and sees the commotion. When I picture Jesus, this is the way I picture him walking. He walks like this. Dude, Jesus walks like this. Never in a hurry. And he's got legs like Pastor TJ.
And guns like
Sy. Oh, buddy. Listen, come here and flex. No, I'm just joking. Stay right there. And the dad asked Jesus, he's like, what's going on here? He says, listen. Jesus wasn't even worried about it. Jesus wanted to have a conversation with him. He's like, how long has this been going on? The dad's probably tormented inside. He's like, dude, do something, please. I can't see my son like this anymore. And Jesus looks at the son, looks at the spirit, casts him out. But before that, there's this exchange that takes place. Jesus said, listen, dad, I need you to believe. And he says, oh, Jesus, this is what he says. Oh, Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. Listen, he was in the same place Sarah was because Sarah was 90 years old. Sarah was well past the years of childbearing. She was in this place where all she knew was her barrenness. All this dad knew was his son would throw, the spirit would throw his son down and he would convulse uncontrollably. And it was heartbreaking. And these were the memories that he had of bringing up his son. And Jesus steps on the scene, starts speaking a healing over his life. And all the dad can do is picture what his son was like because that's the image that was burned inside of his head. And he so bad wanted to take Jesus at his word. And he said these things. He said, Jesus, I believe, but you have to help me get past my mindset. Because all I know is this sickness. Some of you have been dealing with things so long that you don't have faith for it. Can I ask you? You don't have faith for it anymore. You're like, I'm done believing. I'm done with the, just the hope deferred makes a heart sick. And my heart is so sick about it right now. Well, Sarah was in that place and she was what I believe in worse shape than you. Here's a God promising a child to a woman who can't have a child. So what she did is she did this. I wish I had, you know, when we go out to the field, we have a tether that we sit up in a tree with so that if we fall, we're tethered. I want to take that tether right now and slam it shut on the faithfulness of God, because what Sarah did is she tethered on the safety of her faith, of his faithfulness. I don't know, God, if I can believe for this, but I'm going to strap, I'm going to tether, I'm going to tie on to your faithfulness, because the authority of my faith rests in the one who promised it. We have faith because he is faithful. We lay down our lives for others because we know who holds our lives in their hand. We walk because we know who guides us. We speak because we know who fills our mouths with words. We pray because we know that our prayers avail much. We resist the devil and the works of the flesh because we know neither has power over us. We resist the works of the devil. We resist the works of the flesh because none of them have power over us. We endure because we know that he's given us strength. We have no regard for our own life because we know it's not ours to hold. We love because he first loved us. We walk as he did because we abide in him. We thirst and hunger for righteousness because we know we will be filled. We aren't willing that any should perish because we know that that is the Father's heart. We make it our goal to preach the kingdom to every creature because we know he's equipped us to. We pursue his will because we know that he is good. We fulfill his will because we know he has anointed us. We have no desire to avenge ourselves because we know that he has declared vengeance is his. We walk by faith because we know that it pleases him. We go and we do just as he did because we know that we are sent just as he was with all power and all authority. You know, Pastor Chris hit on Peter this morning, talking about the evolution of Peter as a being, as a son. One of the greatest evidences of this is when the believers knew that Peter was in the next town, and they had a woman in their community that had died who went by the name of Dorcas. And just like they commanded Jesus to come and get to the tomb so that he could raise Lazarus or that he could heal Lazarus, they commanded Peter to come. The same Peter who denied Jesus, the same Peter who often spoke out of turn, the same Peter who walked on water and then almost drowned, the same Peter who would always put his foot in his mouth, was receiving a full transformation because of the great exchange, because Jesus breathed into him and said, "Receive my spirit. Here's your salvation. Here's the great exchange. You are no longer who you thought you were. You're everything that I called you to be. And I'm going to call it out from you, and I'm going to show you time and time again how good I am through your life." And they said, "Hey, get Peter. We know he's in the next town. We heard he's in the next town, so bring him over here." And what he did is he walked, just as Jesus did, man. Walked into that room, commanded all the doubters to get out. Because listen, where Peter once saw death, he was now seeing life. And he stooped down beside the bed, and he didn't drum up. He didn't bring in the worship team. He didn't cry aloud. Listen, sometimes you'll receive your healing. Most times, all times, you'll just receive your healing by stepping closer to Jesus. We don't have to scream at our disease. He just took a knee beside Tabitha and whispered to her, "Arise." The same Peter who denied Jesus, the same Peter who would put his foot in his mouth on countless occasions, was now commanding life back into a body that was completely dead. The only thing that changed was the vessel. It had been cleaned. It had been prepared for work, and not by his own hand, but by the blood of Jesus, who didn't only set him free, but set him out. Didn't only clean him up, but prepared him to fulfill the works that he began. Church, I want to ask you to stand to your feet tonight. I believe that the Lord did an incredible work this morning. We had At first count, it was 12. Somebody also spoke up and said 20. There were lives that were given into the kingdom this morning. Come on, church. Can we celebrate that this morning or this evening? Can we celebrate that the kingdom of God has been expanded again and again and again? And if you have not made a commitment to Christ, if you've not surrendered your heart and you say, you know what, Pastor, I don't even know about this, what it's all about. Here's the deal. It's simply this. Believing in your heart that Jesus was Son of God, that he came, he died, he was buried, he rose and ascended to the right hand of the Father. That his greatest desire is to sup with you, to commune with you. And his promise is this: I'll take everything that riddles you, take everything that confounds you, take everything that hurts your heart, and I will bury it. I will wash it away. I'll set it as far as the east is from the west. In exchange, I'll give you my peace and I'll give you my joy. How many of you would want to walk out here tonight with just peace? Do you know that that's, listen, anyways, it doesn't matter right now. But peace is everything. And if that's you tonight, you say, you know what, I just want to surrender my life to Jesus. You just go ahead and you slip your hand up. You say, I want to give it over. I just want him to lead me. I'm done with this noise. I'm done with all of this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we bless you and we thank you for what you're doing. But the greatest thing that we could walk out of here with tonight is this: an understanding of what really took place when he stepped in and took our place. The fact that he walked up to your table and said, you know what? I'll cover this one. I'll cover this. And every single promise that's attached to you or attached to this exchange. So would you with me just close your eyes and lift your hands? We're simply gonna ask the Lord for his revelation and his understanding in this whole thing. Because this is caught, not taught. This is an understanding and a revelation that we need to walk into. Lord, we ask for this. Lord, I bless the minds and the hearts in this place tonight. Lord, those listening live, those listening on the podcast, Lord, that you would give us a greater understanding. Lord, you would give us the revelation we need so that we can walk into the full understanding of this great exchange. 2 Corinthians 5:21, that Lord, you became our sin, Lord, that we can become your righteousness and every promise that's attached to it. Lord, that we might live the life that you have called us to live, a life of abundance, a life full of peace, a life full of joy. Lord, we're so grateful for your blood and your sacrifice. So, Lord, would you bathe our minds and our hearts in it now, Jesus, and allow us to see what you need us to see in this. Lord, I pray for dreams. I pray for visions. I pray for angelic visitations. Lord, that the message would just be delivered to our hearts one way or another. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever, Lord. Amen. Amen. Anybody have anything here? We're good. Church, bless you. Have an incredible week. I pray God's blessing would lead you by his Spirit. Prayer team, you can come on up. Dan, you're just so, it was so subtle, I didn't even notice. Come on up. Prayer team, if you need prayer for anything, the prayer team is ready to receive you. Don't hesitate. Don't go home with this burden still in your heart. Come, allow your faith to be coupled with theirs and receive freedom in Jesus' name. Bless y'all.